On today's episode, pick your five carefully, accountability and decision-making. Welcome to the ultimate crowdsource personal finance show. This is Choose FI.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Guys, really excited to dive into this past week's episode that we had with Annie Duke, and also kind of bring in our perspective, our feedback, and some wins from the community to help me with this. I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan. I am doing quite well. Yeah, what's going on in your world?
You know, I had something that I wanted to bring into this episode to talk to you about, and it was, at the time I was thinking it was kind of unrelated to this episode, but the longer I've been sitting on it, the longer I realize it's the same conversation. It's maybe just a little bit over here. It's a tertiary conversation, but when you see the threads, you realize we're all working towards the same goal. So if you've been listening to our show been listening to the show for a period of time, you know that most recently, like in March, kind of in the heart of COVID, I was very unhappy with kind of the weight that I found myself, finding myself probably 20, 25, 30 pounds over my desired target weight. Just, you know, life, right? Plus COVID. And I decided to take up a health challenge, and I have lost 23, 25 pounds. And more importantly, I have kept it off now for 6 months. And that has turned me into a statistical abnormality, right? Because most people can touch the line, but it's a diet. So they go right back to where they were before. They just touch the line and they say, all right, did it, now done. And it's actually become, in many ways, probably for the first time in my life, I think it's actually become a lifestyle. And that has to do with a little bit of what we were talking about this past week on Monday. You know, it's setting yourself up for more opportunities. And then once you recognize that, you can't control everything. That's the luck factor. But if you can make better decisions, you increase the opportunity for luck to strike. So one, Brad, I just find myself kind of in a very comfortable, confident place going forward. And in a position where I see I could maintain this or maybe even be in better shape. Because now I'm maintaining this even kind of in a stressful season of work life where I have a lot coming at me. But because my decisions are better, the outcome is being maintained.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's very, very impressive. A statistical abnormality. I like that. I was thinking about all the jokes I could make at your expense there. But
no, you could go for it. Just give me one low-hanging one. Just go ahead and drop it right in there. Yeah. If I set you up for it, man, then I deserve it.
All the different abnormalities, but no, that's super.
Oh, you found a nice home, Jonathan.
Yeah. But no, that's super impressive, man. Congrats. And yeah, I mean, so you talked about it being this kind of this new mindset, right? Like it's more a way of life now, as opposed to just akin to a diet or some such, right? Short-termism. Mm-hmm. It sounds more like this is part of your life. It's a long-term thinking. And Jonathan, I'm curious if you could just give me a sense specifically of what has changed. And I think if I understand correctly, you're not the only one working on this and getting these kind of results, right?
Yeah, you are right. So to my point earlier, that whole statistical joke that we just had and then abandoned, I'm not the exception to the rule anymore. I'm doing a little bit of accountability with two individuals, JD Roth, who's known to this community, and also my dad. Now, separately, these are two separate phone calls, but I just hop on a weekly or a biweekly call with them, and we just hold each other accountable. And I think as simple as that sound, just that kind of weekly check-in, that kind of, hey, did you follow through on your goals this week? Not even that the goals are that strict. We have some very basic rules, but just know that it matters. We're going to try to be just 1% more intentional. And we're just going to look at what we're actually doing in our decision-making framework and make sure that we didn't lose our anchor to this path that we've made for ourselves. Both of them are now down 10 plus pounds. In JD's case, I think it's actually over 15, moving on to 20. My dad's now down 10 pounds in about 6 weeks moving forward. And my dad, as I was just talking to him yesterday, is saying, I'm not craving anything. Like, this is actually easy. I don't understand why it took me this long to just do something like this. It's so simple. It's just working. And Brad, the only thing I wanted to add on to this is that it's not that we're doing more. It's not that we're going to sign up for the Ironman or that suddenly we're running 8 miles a day or that we're just living our life. but we're doing it with a little bit more intention and we're watching for those triggers, those poor decisions that we took for granted because we were drifting. We're looking for those triggers and we're giving into them less often, or rather we're not being tempted as much on those things that really derail us from the goals that we want to have. And if you can identify what those triggers are, come up with solutions to not be tempted or not do whatever it was, whatever habit was really decimating your progress for extended periods of time, like 2 months, 3 months. Now, at some point, you just stop being tempted entirely and you have to keep a little bit less, you know, watch on it because it's just not as hard as it was for those first 3 or 4 weeks. And then if you can maintain that for a period of months or 2 months, you fundamentally become a different person.
No, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, it really is all about mindset. And that's the intersection here with Annie Duke. But I mean, before we move on to that, it's kind of what you're describing is similar to that discipline equals freedom, right? That Jocko Willink has talked about. We've used that quote so many times here. Like, you're creating this framework of a life that just works by making these decisions. And then it all just becomes easier. It compounds, truly, to the point where you don't need to think about it. You don't need to exert willpower. Because think about how stressful that would be and how unsustainable that would be if you needed to exert willpower for 10, 20, 30 health decisions every single day, right? You're just kind of stacking these little things and you're doing it through community, which, that's another major thing we've talked about here at Choosify for the last 4 years. Right? Upgrading the 5 people that you spend the most time with, the people that you are around, that you're leaning on, that you're getting inspiration from, you're working together with, you're sharing ups and downs, right? Like in this case, like now another side effect, Jonathan, is you're getting to spend more time with JD and your dad, which is really cool. I mean, in the 4 years that I've known you, obviously you talk about your dad, but I mean, you talk about him mostly in stories of, hey, you know, the community college professor and this and that. And like, I've never heard you say like, hey, I talk to my dad now multiple times a week or once a week or whatever it is. Like, I mean, that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, it actually has been pretty cool. I think it's something that we're both looking forward to. It's shocking to me how quickly once a week comes. Like, it's already another week. And so each week we start this call, which is kind of, we start with just kind of like a baseline weight. It's kind of, you know, how did your week go? What's the baseline weight? And you're just noticing, wow, you lost another pound this week. So, you know, you're 6 weeks in, 10 pounds down. And you realize there's no end game to this. Like if this is actually working and one phone call a week that lasts 30 minutes to an hour, where you're just catching up and doing this quick check-in is resulting in an individual who over the last 20, 30 years has never been able to sustain weight loss, make the weight loss and then sustain it, is suddenly now because of this one phone call is now able to quickly move towards the best shape of their life, their adulthood, and certainly their senior years. Like, holy crap. Wow. That's amazing. Just that tiny accountability. Not that we're doing any secrets here. Basically, our rule book comes down to when you observe what you ate this week, did you feel like you were in control? Did you have any benders where you just went off the rails and were really, they just felt bloated and over the top? Did you stop eating after 6 p.m.? Are you staying hydrated and drinking plenty of water? These are some very simple things. Are you eliminating or limiting the amount of processed sugar that you're getting in your diet? And depending on how aggressive and how motivated you are, because this is a virtuous loop, right? You get some results and you see the results. Take the energy and you dial up the intensity a little bit more. But I mean, in a perfect world, it's not that we get you to a finish line and then we're just not talking anymore. Like imagine if we were doing this for 1 year, you're going to be down below 200 pounds. Maybe for the first time in your adult, if we're doing this for 1 year and you're legitimately showing up and you're just sharing your numbers and what we're doing and we're identifying, well, I got stuck on this. What do you think I should do this week? And then we workshopping that trigger, that sticking point. Well, let's come up with a solution for how you could get around that. Same with JD, same situation. Just, and it's back and forth. It's for me too. And I know I have this accountability. It's not just one way. I'm having to tell them, yeah, it was a bender. I was at a conference and there's no food available. And now we can say, well, what could you do? What solutions or strategies could you do to make that not as, you know, damaging next time for your long-term goals? Brad, this isn't just like weight. I mean, I know a lot of us struggle with our health and our fitness and our weight. It's a big point of concern. It's amazing how powerful this idea is. But this could be applied to anything that you want to achieve in life, but something's holding you back.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And as you were saying that virtuous circle, those little things, think about this in terms of money, in terms of FI. This is at its heart what this show is about. It's about making these small decisions. It's about taking action. That's why we harp on this week in, week out. That's why every single week in my FI weekly email, I ask people to take action, right? That 1%, what's that little thing? Because once you start seeing that, it becomes that virtuous circle. It becomes, hey, this is now part of my baseline. Just like all of these things, that discipline equals freedom. This framework is there. This is part of my baseline. And now I've realized, especially when it comes to money, right? Like, hey, I've changed my cell phone from $100 a month to $20 a month with Mint Mobile or Republic Wireless, and nothing bad happened. You know, like I'm just saving money. This is a straight win. And then you start looking for more of those wins, right? You call up your insurance company and you get a quote for auto and home insurance. You make these tiny little things. You go to the grocery store and you cut out 10 or 20% of the fluff. And all of a sudden, you've just created how much money in space just from those couple little things. That's a couple $100 a month. And then nothing bad has happened to you. Only good. You have a couple extra $100 a month. And then you look for more. It's that circle. You keep looking and you keep realizing, wow, this is fun. This is a game. And I'm winning at it, right? Like you're winning at health. We're talking about winning at finances. We're talking about winning at mindset. Annie Duke said the quality of your decisions, that's what you need to upgrade. You need to upgrade the quality of your decisions, because over the course of your life, by compounding all of these tiny little improvements, you can't point to any single one of those improvements as the one that got you to better decision-making, better health, better finances, right? You can't. That's impossible. But when you look at all of them in totality, you've increased the probability of success by that compounding aspect, right? Truly, those 1% betters. When you start adding up a lot of those 1% betters, man, that just makes for a dramatically, dramatically better life. And I mean, Jonathan, we've gone back to basics here at ChooseFI. And I think really what we've done over hundreds and hundreds of episodes, nearly 400 episodes, is we've tried to build this framework of a mindset that enables people to succeed. And I think this is really a perfect example of it. All right, we have a lot more to cover, but first, a message from our sponsor. Jonathan, I mean, think back, and I'd love to kind of pick your brain on this without putting too much pressure on you, but I was trying to think back on a lot of these little things that we've talked about, right? We've talked about Viktor Frankl's creating that space between stimulus and response, just not reacting. Think about, especially now, think about how much frustration and anger just you see in regular life. You know, I'm not even talking politics. I'm just talking regular life. Like people are frustrated. I hear them, you know, the Jerzy Gregorek quote that we've talked about, the three killers of happiness, sarcasm, complaining, and blaming. What percent of conversations do you hear include those three things? Sarcasm, complaining, and blaming. I mean, I listen kind of anecdotally and it's like 70 to 80% of conversations they hear. People are just, they're frustrated, right? They're frustrated. But, you know, it comes back to what can you control? That changing the locus of control to it being an internal thing, to it being about me, as opposed to this elusive they. Right? Like how many people say, oh, this unforeseen force impacted me. And listen, there is some of that. Obviously, this is not pie in the sky here. But I think we at ChooseFI have looked at this and said, we can impact our future. We have a say in how we control our lives. This changes that entire mindset. And again, like there's that space between the stimulus and response. There are times where I'm going to do one of those killers of happiness, you know, complaining or blaming. Sarcasm is probably not too far off either. But I have that little bit of space now. And that's not to say that I don't do it. Obviously, I do it a decent bit. But just think, right? Like that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to create that little bit of space. We're trying to upgrade our mindset. We're trying to upgrade our decisions little by little over then decades. And just seeing the compounding power of that unfolding. And just how does that make your life better? I think it's untold ways.
And Brad, to your point, if this is what everyone does, everyone is usually who's in your five, right? The people that you spend the most time with, it's just who is the closest to you. And that is like a huge piece of this. Who is that five? If all five of those people that have the most influence on your life, your mindset, your framework are guilty of excess amounts of sarcasm, blaming, and complaining, and the influence that they're able to share with you is that, it's going to be toxic. You get to pick who are those five. It's not to say that you're excommunicating those individuals or you're keeping them outside. You can't interact with them. But if you're saying the people that I spend the most time with, the people that have the greatest influence on my life are sarcastic person one, sarcastic person two, extremely blamey person three, and complainy pants four and five. That's who I have. You haven't left any room for optimism, joy, hope, you know, or action steps, mentorship, a path forward. It's critical. It's critical that you realize there are five positions, five people that have an outsized influence on the actions I'm going to take next. And you be very intentional about who those five people are. You do not want them to be filled up by these downer characteristics. You need to move forward. All of us have room in our lives for improvement. And if you are then start saying, okay, well, that's, what can I do? Where do I want to focus? Who do I want to start, you know, associating myself with or getting my information from? And we replace that with action steps, a clear path forward, maybe a little bit of accountability. Do you see how it shifts? You weren't thinking about it before. You ended up with sarcasm, blaming, and complainy pants. Watch out for them. And now you are thinking about it and you subbed out one of them. You don't need two of those individuals, two of those positions. You're going to sub that out for a little bit of accountability. Why are they being accountable? Because they want to make sure that you're complaining just as much as they are? No. It's because they're holding you accountable to something that you've said is important, or they're providing you with a path forward. Brad, I mean, this is not limited to just us here talking about finance or health and fitness in this case. Annie Duke in her book was very much saying that when she decided that getting better at poker was an important goal for her, she picked a new five.
Yeah, that's right. She had a group, a pod, as she called it, I think, with her brother, Howard Lederer, and Eric Seidel, among others. And yeah, I mean, they didn't put up with, as you said, like that kind of complainy pants, you know, like, oh, look at this bad beat that I just had in this one hand. There was no space for that, right? There was no space for just complaining. It was, okay, let's look at the quality of the decision. Did the outcome turn out poorly? Was there bad luck that intervened? Okay, that's fine. It happens. That's life. And we move on. We don't even talk about that. We talk about the quality of the decision, and you go back to when you made that decision. And I think this is such a hard thing for people. The most important kind of topic that Annie talks about over her first book, certainly Thinking and Bets, is resulting, which is looking at the result of a situation or a decision and then going back and saying, okay, if the result was positive, then by definition, it was a positive decision-making process. And if the result was negative, then, oh, that was a terrible decision. And that's just not the way life should work. But sadly, that's the way that 99% of us look at situations. And you need to separate that. There needs to be a huge line of separation between, okay, let me go back and improve the quality of decisions by trying to get better information. You know, she talked about like the pros and cons list, which I thought was funny. Like there's no depth to that at all. As she said, like it has nothing to do with magnitude of the outcome of each. It has nothing to do with the probability of something occurring. Like it's just literally a list, which is just playing to the biases that you were already bringing into it. So it's just like a preposterous metric.
Pro, I want to do this.
right. So I'm going to make this side of the ledger longer. Like
that's basically what a pro and con list is. And one side is, I want to do this. And then everything else is just filling up the space.
Oh man, it's so true. And you know, she talked about, again, since we're talking about here, the upgrading your five, about having these different pods of people. And it doesn't have to be that formal, certainly. But when you go to somebody for their point of view, what do most of us do? We tell them our opinion and then we ask for theirs. And we've already horribly infected them at that point. Humans are group animals. It's so hard to go against what someone else has said. So you've already infected them beyond all belief at that point. And like, I think back to an example in my own life, a buddy of mine, we both like the same podcast, and he came to me, he's like, oh, did you hear the most recent episode? I absolutely loved it. And it was interesting because in my own head, that was my least favorite episode of the entire podcast. And I didn't want to disagree. Even though like there was no downside, there was nothing that could have happened. It was just, it would have been disagreeing just to be disagreeable is how I, like my little human brain thought of it. And I didn't want to disagree. So I saw like a very specific case study of how you can infect other people. And like, if he had said, oh, hey, did you listen to the most recent episode yet? Then I would have given my opinion. And he would have said, oh, I actually really like that. And we would have had a conversation about it, which would have been cool. But it didn't start that way. So, you know, that is but the most ridiculous, you know, example of this, but it's true, right? And that's something that happened to me specifically. So that when we're talking about upgrading our five, like you don't want to prejudice people with your own opinions first.
Right. I mean, there's a real case here as you're building your network of people that want to help you and you believe they have a body of knowledge that could help you. That's one of the reasons you pick them for one of these spots in the five. You go to them with a question. The actual question you ask is critical if you want to draw from their actual knowledge, as opposed to what most of us do, which is, can you please confirm that my idea is right? That's what most of us do. Less useful if we're already acknowledging that we don't have all the answers and we want new information from somebody that hasn't yet seen our prejudice or our bias or our inclination. It's not to say you have to go with the information they give you, but you're not going to get the same information if you lead with, hey, I'm thinking that this would actually be the best path forward for me. What do you think? Should I do this? It's what all of us do. I do it, right?
We absolutely all do that. And yeah, as Annie said in her book, How to Decide, she said, you want them, quote, as closely as possible into the same state of knowledge that you were in at the time you made your decision, right? Because so many of us go and say, oh, look at how this turned out. And you just want to complain. Oh, woe is me. It turned out poorly. And you're just looking to commiserate at that point, right? You're not looking to actually make a better decision. But what if you were looking to make a better decision? You would set this up. And sure, you know how this turned out in this one specific case, but you put that to the side. It's not even relevant. You go back and say, what did I know at the time? What was I thinking through? What were the factors that were important to me? What did I think were the possibilities, the broad range of possibilities? Maybe the outcome wasn't even in that broad range of possibilities, which means you need to think more broadly, right? Like there's so many different ways to approach this. And then you have somebody else there thinking through and you can say, how would you have approached this? What decision would you have made? What probability do you think you would have assigned to that likelihood? And again, we talk about likelihood and magnitude. If this is a small chance of something small importance happening ultimately, you know, it is what it is. But if there's a decent chance of something life-changing happening, good or bad, that's something you need to consider, right? Like you need to put some depth to that pro and con list, which again, having somebody else there to talk through, like I think that would be pretty cool to do that, Jonathan. I mean, I would love to do something like that.
So let's finish this segment up just with a challenge to you as the audience listening to this. I want you this week just to get a sheet of paper out, a little notepad, and I want you to write down, who is that five for me currently? My worldview, my mindset, my actions, my bias, like the things that I'm working on. Who has the most influence on that currently? Who am I spending the most time with that is in one of those positions of influence? Two, what are the characteristics that are making them a good fit for one of those positions, right? So hopefully they do not fall excessively into the sarcasm, the blaming, or the complaining. If they do, or even if they don't, like what is your ideal characteristics for these individuals that would be influencing your decision? So that's your first challenge, is to kind of go through this exercise. Who's in my five? And then who would I like to be in my, like, what are the characteristics I'd like for the people to have that are in my five? And then where can I find those individuals? That's exercise one. Giving you guys a ton of homework this week. I know. It's good for you. It's not busy work. It's a great exercise.
It's all about action.
That's right. And then the next thing, and this is super quick. This is a quick win. I want you to ask a couple questions this week where you actually want the truth. You don't want confirmation bias. You're not going to tell someone what you're leaning towards or what you're thinking. You're going to just ask for someone's legitimate opinion without prejudicing them first. Let me give you an example. I see a lot of people coming to our Choosify Facebook group, which you can access at choosify.com/Facebook. I think it's starting to approach 100,000 people in this group. It's a really big, really active group now. And there's a lot of people that come in for the first time and say, I'm really thinking about buying. I want to buy this brand new Tesla. We'll just keep it on Tesla right now. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you think this is a good FI choice? How FI is this? Something like that, right? That is not the question to ask. I want to make a great car purchase. We need a great reliable ride. I'm thinking about buying a Tesla. Do you think this is a good FI choice? The version of this that would be a truth seeker question is, if you're actually wondering, I want to get a car that doesn't slow down my path to financial independence. Let's start with that. We can give them additional information later, but let's use an example like, I have this coming up. I'm coming in with no biases. I'm not giving you any additional information. I'm just curious. What would you think would be the best choice for someone that's looking to purchase a new or gently used car that their goal is to achieve FI faster? Now, obviously, this is not the exact setup. There's a million variations of this, but I'm saying if you really want the Tesla, Let's not lead with the Tesla. If the real information that you want is what's a great car choice that will allow me to get to five faster or not slow me down on my path to five, let's just ask that question, separate it out. Your version of this could look different. It could be about a home. It could be about a consumer purchase. It could be about taking a job. Let's not lead with what we already want to do, because the purpose of this isn't necessarily that we're going to take their advice. It's that we just want additional information that maybe we haven't considered yet. And so that's kind of like my challenge for you this week. Just ask one question intentionally where you're not biasing the participant that is going to supply the answer, and just see, did I get a better answer? What did that feel like? It might feel uncomfortable because most of us just want the answer we want, but it's probably worth it just to experiment and test the waters in a few different places. All right, guys, coming back, you know, ideas are great. Action is everything. I want to talk about some community wins, and to help us, we have MK here with us today. How you doing, MK?
Hey guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here. We have a really great set of wins that Jody posted. Now, she posted this a couple months ago in our Facebook group, but this was so inspirational. I was like, you know what? This is a whole year worth of wins. So we have several months where we can at least give you a great shout out, Jody. So Jody wrote an inspirational tale of a broke chick who found ChooseFi. In 2016, I had a ton of debt, no money, no savings, a dead end job, and I was single. July 11, 2016, I doubled my salary to $65K. In February of 2018, I joined ChooseFi. I checked Brad Barrett's weekly Friday check-in, making my comment and taking notes on what others did. In early December 2018, I sold my live-in flip for a $92,000 profit. On December 11, 2018, I posted that I paid off $90,531.18 in student loan debt. On March 23rd, 2019, I posted that I was entirely debt-free. I had paid off my car. In late June 2019, I went on a first date. On July 4th, 2019, I flew to Europe for $62 round trip thanks to travel rewards. I got married on October 20th, 2019. My financial situation and trajectory changed significantly. My husband and I then formed two LLC businesses, and I quit my job. Today, I'm posting that I have hit the $100,000 investment milestone in my pre-marriage accounts. Whoever needs to hear it, you're here and the resources are incredible. Don't stop working, trying, and saving. It took 4 years for me to change my life exponentially. You can change so much in that time. And I thought this was such a great message from Jody. So first of all, congratulations on all the amazing things you've been doing. But I think it goes to show none of this is overnight. None of this is, well, I woke up today and decided I was going to do this, and then tomorrow everything falls into my lap. You know, she worked hard and she really changed things. And way to go, Jody. This is just awesome.
That is unbelievable. This is not BSing. I quite literally have goosebumps all over my arms. There's something about this, as she said, inspirational tale of a broke chick, right? Like that, it's amazing. Think about 4 years. Well, first off, Jody, unbelievable. Huge congratulations to you. This is just amazing. But think about how quickly 4 years can blink by, right? For most of us, think how quickly a decade can blink by. We're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again. And Jody, in 4 years, changed her entire life by taking action. I mean, look at the magnitude of what she's done here. I mean, it's earth-shattering. And it just started with these little things. But these little things then turn into big things. She listed the five or seven massive, massive things that happened here. But I'm sure there were 200 tiny little things that she changed to make her life better. I mean, we cannot say it enough. It comes down to action. It comes down to, you can listen to all the podcasts you want. And I mean, there's enough information here to change your life, but nothing is going to change if you sit on the couch. It's just simply not. You've got to get up and you have to take that action for yourself. And man, Jody did it in spades. So Jonathan, isn't that just the most remarkable thing?
Our chills are happening over here as well. I mean, it's just, wow. It's so easy just to gloss by and see this final product. Yay, I hit 100,000. And miss that didn't happen by accident for anybody. You know, it's just small steps, big steps, combined, moving forward, failing, moving forward, changing your locus of control and changing your zone of awareness, increasing your zone of awareness, and picking your tribe with intention. There's a community of 100,000 people that are doing this, you know, and they're seeing Jody's post, and you better believe that that is a shot of adrenaline to their own goals. It's that accountability that we talked to the beginning. When you know there's 100,000, 200,000, a half million, millions of people on this path, and you have a way of saying, I could do that. actually. I see bits of myself in this story. Maybe I'm a couple years behind. I see bits, but I could do that and imagine how much better my life would be if I did, except that you don't have to imagine because you can already see it. You can actually see someone that actually was in the exact same situation you're in, took the action, got here, and you're like, yeah, that's replicable. I can do that.
All right. And continuing our messages from the community here, I got this amazing one from Evan. And Evan replied to my weekly, fi-weekly email, which you can get on our email list at chooseavi.com/start. And Evan said, I broke my finger pretty bad this week, but I had a great conversation with my wife. What matters now is not the cost of the surgery, but that we get it fixed and have good use of it for the rest of our wonderful lives. I'm grateful to have had great nurses and doctors and a job with quality insurance. This is the perspective I'm striving for as I shoot for fi. Not with a reckless urgency, but a thoughtful understanding of the use of money and how it can improve my life. So that last line, I want to repeat it because it's so important. This is the perspective I'm striving for as I shoot for fi. Not with a reckless urgency, but a thoughtful understanding of the use of money and how it can improve my life. I mean, that's beautiful writing, first off, Evan. Just absolutely beautiful writing. And I mean, that encapsulates what we're trying to get across here, right? This is not about depriving yourself. It's not about eating rice and beans and brown bananas on the path to fi to get there a month and a half earlier. It's about being thoughtful. And it's about saying that money used as a tool can improve my life in so many ways. And it can obviously buy you things that you value, right? This is not about deprivation. It's about value. So it can buy you things you value. And it can also be saved to get that power on your side of the ledger, right? To get to a point where you have freedom and autonomy in your life. So that thoughtful understanding of the use of money, that is really what we're trying to get across at ChooseFi, in my estimation. It's money can be so valuable. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something that should be taboo to talk about. It is something that can improve your life in so many ways. Not for greed purposes or hoarding, but for all these reasons that we talk about here. And yeah, I had to read that because I think this to me is everything.
I feel like the opposite of what Evan described in this is like the Sonic Hedgehog approach to fi, where you're just chasing the gold coins at like frantic urgency. And the first time you hit that thorn bush or whatever, it's just spraying everywhere and you're just back on your tail wondering what happened. Where did that come from? Where this, you know, this thoughtful step-by-step intentional approach that would never happen, right? Like you've got this, you can do this, put one step in front of the other and build systems to ensure the outcome. Sonic the Hedgehog path to fi. I'll see that blog article in the next couple of weeks, I would imagine. Like someone will really map this out. They'll have the counterpoint to video games, a lesson about fi. All right, everyone. Well, I've been really encouraged just seeing what's going on in our own home state of Virginia that feels like things are coming back online increasingly, albeit, you know, slowly in some cases, but it does look like things are turning back on. But for small businesses everywhere, it's still a struggle. It's going to be a struggle for months and months, probably all the way through, you know, I would imagine next spring or summer. And for those individuals, it's been really important to recognize when a pivot is necessary. And highlighting examples of what the pivot, what it might look like. So this next one we got from our community is from John, sharing how his wife pivoted her events business.
Hey guys, this is John McSorley from the UK. I'm calling actually on behalf of my wife. I wanted to give her some props, and I thought you might find this an interesting little story in the context of the art of the pivot. My wife's actually American. We moved back to the UK last year after being in Chicago for almost a decade, and she ran a very successful corporate event team building company. It was called Escape Room Races, but it was tied to in-person events. So large corporations getting their groups together. And obviously the pandemic that has hit us this year has absolutely killed that. But amazingly, her and her business partner have totally pivoted to virtual format. And not only that, they've managed to, not only have they rebranded their existing event style into a virtual format, but they're also doing tons of new virtual events now. They've got mixology ones, they've got golf events, they've got escape room puzzles, team challenges, quiz nights. And companies are just so bored that they are lapping this stuff up and they are making money hand over fist. They've actually had their biggest month ever after the pandemic hit. So super exciting story. And yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. And yeah, if you ever want to give her a call, I'm sure she'd love to to get on the show and explain it to you guys. Thanks for everything you do. Enjoy the show and keep on going.
That is awesome. I have the website pulled up here. If you're watching Chooseify TV on your friendly YouTube destination, you'll actually be able to take a look at their website. And if you're interested from a corporate event, it sounds like they'd be a fantastic choice. The art of the pivot, Brad, I think that's something that we're going to have to continue to highlight.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of businesses all across the world are having to pivot, especially with live events. You know, we've talked to Alan Donegan from Papa Business School, and they had live events booked all over the world. And all of a sudden you have to pivot, right? Best laid plans. You think everything is going smoothly, and then life throws a curveball at you. Obviously, we probably couldn't predict the enormity of the curveball here in 2020, but life is always throwing curveballs at you, and you need to be ready. And yeah, it's interesting talking about live events, right? So we have friend of the show, Christine, from episode 137. She has a local food tour company in Nashville, Tennessee, called A Little Local Flavor. And she also has gone through some crazy times this year. But Jonathan, as I understand it, they're back open now. And she actually sent us this amazing letter and just talking about all the experiences she's had with Chooseify listeners. And I just have to read this. She said she's had at least 50 listeners book tours with her in Nashville, Tennessee. And this one jumped out and she said, I do have one Chooseify tour experience that I just have to share with you. It was a Sunday last fall. And as I finished giving my spiel at Acme, which is one of the stops, one of the guests looks at her friend and points at me and says, this is the girl I was telling you about. She had heard my interview on your show. So when she and her girlfriends planned a trip to the US, she insisted that they come to Nashville and take my tour. Here's the neatest thing. The five of them live all over the world. They met while traveling, and the gal from New Zealand converted them all into Chooseify listeners. They were from New Zealand, Sri Lanka, Japan, Sweden, and England.
Oh my God.
A beautiful testament to your global reach. You both should be very proud. It has been lovely getting to meet other Chooseify listeners. I hope that post-COVID, you get the opportunity to meet more listeners and fans. Cheers. And that is just so cool, right? Like to think that people are going out of their way to go to Nashville to go on Christine's tour, that people are meeting all across the world in all these countries and sharing Chooseify, but more broadly, the message of financial independence, the message of how your life can change when you make these changes in your life and you take action, right? Like, I mean, Jonathan, this is amazing.
In full fairness, when I go to Tennessee, I'm normally going to Chattanooga because I have family there, but I'm planning on going to Nashville, Tennessee to go book a tour with Christine's tour company, which, by the way, for people listening, is A Little Local Flavor, which you can find at alittlelocalflavor.com. And she just does an incredible job there. So I think, Brad, she was talking to me offline privately about just that. She has probably one of the most highly rated tour companies in the country now. And she started within the last 24 months, pre-COVID, the last 2 to 3 years. And she attributes the reason that it's blown up the way it has to her relentless focus on just the customer experience. I mean, and telling stories, which we talk about how the world goes on stories, like that is it. And so her team comes in with that joy, that passion, and she makes sure that it's just that world-class experience for everyone that signs up for a tour. So it is pretty cool to see like the overlap. You know, when we started, Brad, just to show our own ignorance here, we'll throw us under the bus when we started. We were not talking about entrepreneurship the way that we should have been when we started with episode one or two. It wasn't something that we talked about in the show. We didn't even get called on it, and I don't know why, until episode 21 when we did our Pillars of Fi episode, and it took about a week or two, and Alan Donegan was the one that actually called us on it and said, guys, you just blatantly missed this one. We realized it was so bad that we just went and we reworked everything. Because like, yep, and the framework has been better going forward. You know, you polished that off, you added in some additional thoughts from Todd Tressider, who kind of gave us a little bit more of this language to think about in terms of, you know, you can build wealth through paper assets, which is what he called it, or the stock market, which is the rest of the universe calls it. You can do it through building a business or through real estate. And that's it. It's those three options. But inside of each of those three options, there's an infinite number, you know, or through your job. So your job, you know, earn a great income. But then if you want to invest, you could invest in building your own business. You can invest in the stock market. You invest in real estate, right? So we have this like Venn diagram. Inside of each of those, when we're talking about earn more, we have an infinite number of ways to tackle the game. We could focus on salary negotiation, pivoting out of our job into a higher paying job, retraining to make more. You can learn all the tactics that Alan Donegan is sharing on Rebel Entrepreneur to become that rebel entrepreneur, right? You can learn about real estate investing. We featured Paula Pan and Chad Carson giving us all the tactics of really diving into that. Scott Trent sharing with us how to look at house hacking, and Craig Kurlop talking about house hacking, crushing it with real estate. And it just, the game gets more fun when you realize there's just so many different ways to tackle it, and you don't have to do everything, but if you're not happy with where you're at, you're probably going to need to do something. It's important to do something, no matter how small. And I think, Brad, a lot of times it starts with just recognizing that other people are saying, yes, I'm willing. And when you do your 5-weekly challenge every single week, hundreds of replies of people sharing, yep, I'm committed. This is my, I have it on my calendar each week. I reply to Brad's email because I don't know exactly where I'm going to be 4 years ago. I can't control the luck part of this, but I'm going to make sure that I take care of the decision-making and creating more opportunities.
Yeah. And talking about the 5-weekly newsletter, we actually have been over the past few weeks announcing winners for several books based on people who respond to the 5-weekly newsletter that Brad puts out. When you share your win with him, there's a chance that we are going to read your win on air and you are going to get one of our books when we do so. So we definitely want to be celebrating your wins. And what better way to celebrate it than additional knowledge that can help you get even more wins. So today we have our first win is from Ahmed. And he says, I'm a recent college grad and was due to move to a high cost of living city in January for work. We recently got word we're starting remotely. So instead of spending money on rent, I'm just going to stay home with my parents in our current low cost of living city until the office reopens. All the money I'll save on rent and other expenses will go straight to investments. That is such a huge win. That is like an amplified, going to help you out tenfold win. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is so cool. And when I read this, I thought back to my own life when I first graduated college and my parents let me live with them for 2+ years. And I saved probably 80 to 90% of my income. And that changed the entire trajectory of my life. So this is a massive, massive win. So congrats, Ahmed. Really, really cool stuff. I mean, to be 22 years old and have this FI information and have this start where you're not looking to then frivolously spend the money, but it's going straight to investments. I mean, that is just going to set you up for just an amazing life.
And then our second win this week's comes from Tommy Dogs. And now I've actually seen him very active in our Facebook groups. So Tommy is always commenting and responding back to people, which is amazing. He helps other people, but he had a big win as well. So Tommy wrote, just received an email from my state's 529 program with the following. Thank you for applying for the Maryland Save for College State Contribution Program. We are happy to inform you that you are on your way to receiving a Maryland state contribution of $500 into your accounts. I'm not sure if this program is available in other states, but here are the details for Maryland residents. It's worth looking into. And he provided us with a link, which we'll put in the show notes. Tommy also writes, it's also worth noting my Maryland taxable income would have been too high to qualify for the $500 contribution from the state if not for saving so much in my pre-tax accounts. Yet another financial benefit of intelligent savings. Well done.
It really is amazing how when you take advantage of pre-tax buckets, so you're saving for your future. By doing so, you become eligible for additional incentives. That's just the way the tax code is written. That's amazing. If we're being rewarded for saving more, that's the opposite of a perverse incentive, right? Let's all save more. Let's all have the problem of oversaving. That's incredible.
Yeah. And to your point, it's not perverse incentives. It's not, we're not gaming the system. They are setting up incentives for people to save. And we in the FI community are saving dramatically. And yeah, the side benefit is then you get additional benefits. So this is just a cool little one, you know, $500 free into his son's 529. I mean, that's a huge win, but it's because he had this intelligent savings plan. So, I mean, we have talked over all our episodes of a lot of these add-on benefits. And Jonathan, maybe in the next couple of months, we'll do that back to basics on some of these add-on benefits that we've talked about in the past. But there are a significant number of them. And it just comes back to, do you have this financial savings plan? Are you doing the right thing? And you're being incentivized for it. So yeah, win, win, win all around.
It's so funny. Tommy Dogs, that name stood out to me as well. And he posted in the group really just yesterday, I think, actually, this comment. So it's funny that these are tied together. He says, me the first 35 years of my life, if I put 10% towards my 401k, he would say, I'm crushing it. Thanks, Dad. Now me, after listening to every Choose FI episode, if I'm not maxing out my 401k, IRA, HSA, Run DMC, and every other tax advantage account, what am I thinking? Seriously, though, I'm hoping to switch to a high deductible health plan this open season so I can access the HSA finally. I won't be able to max it out immediately, but in due time, I'll get there. It is a shift when you can change the anchor, isn't it? Like, these people don't make this one decision in a vacuum. The 529, getting the $500, that didn't happen in a vacuum. He's looking for that next opportunity. And when you stack these, you know, at any point in your life, but especially, you know, when you're talking at this stage in his journey, MK used the term that it's a tenfold. It's tenfold of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Tommy Dogs is going to crush it. So you can take that to the bank. All right, my friends, that's it for this episode. Let me just give you one additional piece of information for these wins that we just read out where we gave away this book. To be eligible for this drawing, there's two things. One, you need to be on our email list and get access to our bi-weekly newsletter, which is Brad's once-a-week newsletter where he shares with you what's going on in the community and what he's working on this week. And he's going to ask you specifically in that, what's your win? What is your win? You need to reply back to that when you get it each week to be eligible for this giveaway, this book giveaway from Choose FI Publishing. We give away a book of your choice from our publishing arm. And we have our book, Choose FI, for yourself, for a family member, for a friend. Give it away as a gift. Share it with somebody. Or we actually have several other books, depending on what stage of the journey that you are in. We have one on pensions, one for raising money-savvy kids, and one for entrepreneurship at any level. And so just if that is interesting to you, make sure you're on our list. To do that, just go to choosefi.com/start. The fire is spreading, my friends. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.